This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by the Wild East Game Company. You can go to wildeastgames.com/order to find all of the games that the Wild East Game Company has created. Whether you're looking for privateering rodents, some upset totems, or some electrified dice, the Wild East Game Company has the game for you. Check them out online at wildeastgames.com.
Gamers Podcast. This is episode 96.
Episode 96. It is Mother's Day. This is episode 96 of the Family Gamers Podcast. I am your host, Andrew, and as always, I am joined by my lovely wife, a mother, Anitra.
That's me. But we have another guest on today.
We do. We do. We love having people on the show so much, and because it's Mother's Day, and because we had Asher on the show last week, this week, we have on the show our daughter, Claire. Say hi, Claire.
Hi.
So what we're going to talk about this week is games to play with mom.
Yeah, we have all sorts of stuff that we have been talking about, different styles of games and things like that that we think we sort of took the cream of the crop, I guess, from a series of styles that we thought would work well and introduce mom to this kind of game or just play this kind of game with mom or whatever. And so we picked out some of our favorites. They may not be your favorites. They're just our favorites. That we think might fit the bill.
We hope that our suggestions will fit both gamer moms and non-gamer moms.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why we picked a bunch of different categories, is because we expect that some of them will appeal to some people and some of them will appeal to other people. And that's just kind of how it is.
We tried so hard to make it a top five. I think we are physically incapable of limiting it to five games.
We can't limit anything to five games. It's not a thing that we can ever do, ever.
We managed five categories.
But as always, we will start this week with what we've been playing.
Yeah, so what have we been playing?
Well, let's see. So we had a new friend over to play games on our game night.
We did. We love when new friends come.
Yeah, it was awesome. And we introduced him to two games. We played Sagrada.
Yep. He asked us what's the difference between Sagrada and Roleplayer. And we gave him a big long explanation. Then we said, let's play Sagrada.
Yeah. I relented. I feel like I could have pushed it to Roleplayer, but maybe next time. Yeah, so we played Sagrada, which is a lot of fun. The dice drafting game from Floodgate Games. Lots of fun there.
And then he pulled out a game that he had brought called Cosmic Encounter.
Right. This is a game from Fantasy Flight Games how do I feel about Cosmic Encounter? I didn't love it.
It was fine. I wasn't super impressed with it, but I think that's partly you need to really get into the flow of the game to appreciate it. And I think it's also that it's very confrontational by nature. And you need to not only seek out your own encounters, as it were, but really get yourself involved in other people's encounters as well.
Yeah, I mean... Ultimately, the reason why I didn't care for the game is possibly because the luck element really worked not in my favor, in the sense that I sat around for a large amount of the game doing absolutely nothing.
Well, and you didn't kind of worm your way in and say, you know, I would really like to assist in this attack, or I would really like to assist in this defense.
Right, but... So the point of the game is that each of you represent an alien race, and you need to create five colonies
away from your home kind of planet system
in order to win the game. And each colony that you create, you get a victory point. If you lose that colony, you lose the victory point, etc. So there's a deck called the Destiny deck, and you flip a card off the Destiny deck, and it has a color, and that is the color that you attack, basically. And you can pick which planet in that planet system you attack, but it's all determined by the Destiny deck. And so we were playing a four-player game. I was the fourth player, And so three people went before me, and
your color didn't come up.
Yeah, my color didn't come up at all. Turns. And so even if I had the option or opportunity to be someone's ally, I had absolutely no agency in what was actually going on.
Yeah.
So that was kind of frustrating. And then if you have an encounter and you have a battle and you win, you can have a second encounter. So I don't think that happened for all three of you, but I think it happened for two out of the three of you. So essentially, five things happened before I could do anything. And by the time it was my turn for the first time, multiple people were more than halfway to winning the game.
Yeah.
And that was really frustrating. I mean, it's good. So what they do to kind of mix up the game is that everybody has a different alien race, and the different alien races have these like ridiculous game breaking powers.
Have different crazy powers.
Yeah, they're nuts. And I mean, that part of it is kind of cool. And I think there's a lot more there that I just didn't have the opportunity to.
Well, you're not going to see it in a single,
you know,
play
enjoy
the game. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, I think that there's something, if you can't have fun the first time you play a game, like maybe that game is a little unbalanced, right? I mean, I've played enough games that I feel like I can see the merit of a game even if I'm not enjoying it. And it was just really hard for me in this one, so.
Sure.
Not super in love with Cosmic Encounter from Fantasy Flight, but I do understand how that's a game that people like.
I definitely would be willing to play again.
Yeah, I probably would too.
I also hear that it does better with a higher player count.
That seems crazy to me.
Which seems weird to me.
Yeah, really.
That's what I hear.
But, you know, if anybody out there has played and rather enjoys Cosmic Encounter, please let us know how wrong we are.
Yeah. At this point, the rest of our gaming group had to go, but the new friend was kind of waffling, and we're like, wait, let's show you a game that takes 5 minutes. So we played through the first scenario of Magic Maze.
Yep, and
which was hilarious and fun, as always.
But I tell you what, why don't we pull Claire in? Claire, you played some games with the family in recent memory.
Yeah, tell us about something that you've played.
I played Trok with my family.
Yeah, it was you and me and Asher and my mom, Nai-Nai. What'd you think of that game, Claire?
I like it.
What do you like about it?
I guess I like that you move the individual pieces to move all the pieces.
Yeah, I really love that mechanic that you have these three-part castles, but you're only moving one piece at a time, unless you manage to move into, around, whatever, capture another castle piece on your way, which then lets you move an extra space each time. I've loved it since I was probably your age. It always seemed like a very grown-up game when I was a kid. Now it doesn't seem like a very grown-up game to me anymore, but I still like playing it. And I'm glad your kids like it too. Anything else you want to say about Trok? You got a little frustrated because Nai-Nai and I kept capturing your pieces and moving them back and forth and not really helping you in any way.
And I was like the only person that got, I was like almost the only person that got that almost all of my pieces got moved backwards.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to everybody at some point in a four-player game, but a lot of your pieces along the way got grabbed and then moved backwards. Let's see, what else? I've been playing more games than usual with our youngest, Checkers, which he did okay at with a lot of help. Maze Racers. Man, I love the equalizing nature of Maze Racers, that I made a fairly complex maze. I mean, it was straightforward. You just followed the path, but I made a fairly complex one. And he made a really, really simple one. And yet it probably took us about the same amount of time to do each other's mazes. And I played some Gobblers with him, too. The more I play this game, the more I like it. It really takes tic-tac-toe to another level while not making it any more difficult. What do you think of Goblet Gobblers, Claire?
I like it. And there was one time where I played it with Nai-Nai. Mm-hmm. And there's one time where she literally made the same exact move two times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I won.
Oh, maybe she wasn't paying attention. Or maybe you have better strategy.
Like, it totally made sense for her to go there, and then it didn't.
And then it didn't make sense the second time?
Because, no, like, it made sense for her to go there, but, it's like you take a glance, like, you can only look at the boy for 1 second, and then you have to close your eyes and put your piece somewhere.
What?
It's like what she did.
All right.
Because she didn't think all the way through it.
Sure. Well, that's what happens sometimes.
And I like the part where you can eat each other's pieces.
You can go on top of each other's pieces. That's pretty fun. I like that you can remove your pieces again later and move them somewhere else, and that can change up the game quite a bit. What else? One more thing. Andrew, you and I played some Robo Diner.
We did.
In advance of our review, which went up last week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I played it.
You have also played Robo Diner a few times.
So, Claire, what do you think about Robo Diner? Do you like it?
I like it. I mean, I guess it's a little bit, like, if it was a little bit, not really easier, but if there was less, like, not really steps, but less things that you actually had to do to get points.
I think that's totally fair.
Even if you just took out the trash cards, it would be a lot. I think it would be a better game.
So it sounds like what you're saying in the vernacular is the game's a little bit fiddly.
Yeah, it's not a hard game, but there's a lot to keep track of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is a game that very much, and we kind of talked about it in the review, it feels like the board game version of a Diner Dash style game where you're kind of rushing around to gather ingredients together to fill someone's order. And that really works well in an environment like a video game where it handles all the machinations for you and just, you know, puts the sort of set collection piece in your hands while you don't have to manage things. But when you make it into a card game, now you have to manage every single thing that happens. Yeah. You have to move the the conveyor belt, which requires you moving every single card because
every
there isn't,
single card that's on the conveyor.
Yeah, there isn't like a. I mean, maybe I guess if there was, it would make the game more expensive. But like if there were interlocking pieces that you could take the end one off and dump it and then put at the beginning, and just kind of pull the cards along so you don't have to move every single individual card. It would kind of smooth out some of that process. It was just a little bit of a nuisance to move all the pieces. I mean, the core game was there, but it was just, there's a lot of overhead.
Yeah, and I have to admit, even when I played a earlier prototype of Robo Diner at a convention, all the cards were sleeved, which was more the nature of it being a prototype, but it made them a lot slicker and easier to move.
Sure.
The guy had worked out a custom playmat that, you know, actually looked like a conveyor belt and a set of tables, which kind of added to the theme and also, again, made it easier to move the cards around and stuff. It's just, it's kind of fiddly. It's a fine game, but it's not a great game.
Right. Yeah, it's, you know, if you really like those kinds of like, you know, iOS or Android Diner Dash type games, it's certainly something to check out. But it didn't blow me away in that way. Yeah, so that was Robo Diner.
So I think that's about it. I mentioned to Claire when we were going to have her on the show, she was like, I can't think of what games I've been playing recently. And I had to tell her that's because she's been playing an awful lot of Zelda.
Yes.
And not so much a lot of board games.
And over the last year and a half or so, I think our listeners have heard me talk about Zelda enough.
Yeah.
So we'll save you from that. But
we'll just leave it at that.
We have, you know, I think we might have mentioned before that Claire was not allowed to play Breath of the Wild on the Switch until she beat Wind Waker HD on the Wii U, and she did, and so now she's playing Breath of the Wild on the Switch.
When I did it, I did it, and, like, I do it sometimes in Breath of the Wild when I defeat, like, a big boss, I'm like, I turn it off because Mom and Dad say I have to be done, and I just dance around the living room because I'm so happy.
That seems totally healthy and normal to me.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so we are going to take a quick break. We've got some special guests during the break as well.
Special interviews.
And when we come back, we're going to talk about some games to play with Mom.
What's your name?
Elliot.
How old are you?
3.5.
What game do you think Mommy would really like to play with you?
Shoots and Ladders.
Shoots and Ladders. Any other games you think would be really fun for playing with Mommy?
No.
We're talking about games to play with your mother. In honor of Mother's Day.
Mm.
So, is there any game you think would be super great to play with Mommy?
Yes.
What?
Shoots and Ladders.
Okay. Any others?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Elliot. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
What's your name?
Asher.
For anyone who hasn't been listening to the podcast, and how old are you?
7.
All right. Our question for this week, in honor of Mother's Day, is what game do you think your mom would really like to play with you?
What game do you like?
That is an excellent way to answer that question.
It was the first thing I thought of. And all the other games I thought of, I thought you wouldn't like, so I was like, can't think of anything else. Let's try this.
Okay. Well, I think in general, I would like to play a game that would be fun for everyone involved. But if you're just asking me what game would I like to play with you guys, I really like I really like a lot of our dice games, the roll and write type games.
Scribble Dash.
I like Scribble Dash. I like Saikatsu.
I love Saikatsu.
And I like Troke.
Troke?
Troke.
Troke?
Yeah.
I like Troke.
Yeah.
I won.
The last time we played, you won. Yeah. What do you think is important about playing games with your mom? Or what do you think is the best part of playing games with your mom?
I don't know.
No? How about playing games with your grandma or your nai-nai? Anything you want to say about playing games with them?
I don't know.
No? All right.
All right, we are back. Those are some adorable interviews with Elliot and with Asher. And now we're going to hear from Claire as well. Take it away, Mom.
So, Claire, what games do you think Mom would love to play? Especially for Mother's Day.
One that I think Mom would like to play is Saikatsu.
I do love Saikatsu.
Yeah.
Anything else?
And Sagrada. There's a lot of S games that Mommy likes.
I also love Sagrada. You have become a student of the games that I enjoy. I appreciate that. Do you think there are any games that Grandma or Nai-Nai would really want to play?
I don't know if there's any that I like to play with Grandma and Nai-Nai.
Okay.
There's probably some, I just can't think of them.
Well, I know Nai-Nai likes Rummy Cube.
She does. She really likes Racco.
Mm-hmm.
And Scrabble. Although she would wipe the floor with you at Scrabble.
Yeah. I mean, that's a domain knowledge game, so yeah. It's a tough one. Troke.
Yep. Nai-Nai enjoys Troke.
Can you think of a game that you have... that you have played that you would like to show to Nai-Nai or Grandma?
Maybe Mastermind, because I've only played it with Asher.
Okay. I bet you they both know the game Mastermind and they would love to play it with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what grandmas are for, after all. All right, so we are going to get into our topic for the week, games to play with Mom. Let's see. So how do you want to do this, honey? Do you want to just kind of go by group and talk about games? And
yeah, I think let's go by grouping, because originally we went for a top five, and then I kind of went, well, we're kind of theming this top five. Like, each one fills a different need. And as soon as we identified that, we came up with a bunch of other games that fill those same needs.
Yeah. Okay, so why don't we just start at the top? We'll start with a party game. So if you have a bunch of people over and like family over,
yeah,
you know, we figure what's a good intro party game, and it's a game that we've all talked about before, we've all heard of, and that's Codenames.
Yep, or any of its variations: Codenames Pictures, Codenames Disney, Codenames
right. or,
Marvel,
or
whatever.
if you want to play a Codenames style game because it's so easy to play, but you only want to play it two-player, there's Codenames Duet.
Yeah.
So that was kind of our pick for that sort of generic party game style, easy to understand game is Codenames. And it's at Target and Walmart, and it's like $10, and yeah, you can't go wrong.
Codenames Disney is really good to play with kids because it's easy, recognizable, and you can play it with pictures or words.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, so in Codenames Pictures, you have just pictures to work with. Codenames Disney, you can pick either pictures or words, or you can even mix it up.
Yeah, you can have a mix of both if you want.
Yeah, so good point, Claire.
All right, our second category, as it were, is intro games. Games that are not going to need a lot of explanation that really anybody can play.
Mm-hmm. And so this actually pairs really well with our review this week. One of our writers, Nick Martinelli, has written a review for the game Roll For It by Calliope Games, and that's the first game on our list, is Roll For It. In fact, the beginning of Nick's review starts with a story about his grandma, who was in the hospital, and she just got out of the hospital, and how he used kind of Roll For It as a nice intro game to really to get her spirits up. And it's a sweet story.
Aw, that's so nice.
Mm-hmm. So Roll For It is basically, it's a set collection game where you're kind of competing to complete these die face objective cards.
Yeah, each player has their own color of dice,
mm-hmm.
And you take your turn, you roll dice, you decide which ones to set aside to fulfill specific cards.
Yeah, you actually put them on or next to the cards to show that you're working towards that thing, and then you continue to roll to try to roll for that combo, and if you get it before anybody else, you win that card, and it's got point values on it.
Yeah. So. Importantly, it also releases any dice that were attached to that card back to their owners.
Yep.
And that's the majority of the game right there, which is why it's so easy to learn and easy to play and easy to pick up.
It is a really great blend of push your luck and strategy.
Yeah.
Because
definitely.
You have to, because you can work towards two cards at the same time, right?
Yeah, sure. But you can't just put your dice everywhere willy-nilly, or you will run out of dice.
Right, or you'll just be rolling one die over and over and over and over again, hoping to get that single face, and it never comes up. Yep.
Yeah. Also, in the introductory game category, for any moms with really young children, Silly Street.
We've talked about this game so much, but it is absolutely perfect for this kind of thing. This is the kind of game that if it was out when we had young children, I would buy it for Anitra for Mother's Day. So that she could play with our young kids. That's a perfect use for a game like Silly Street.
Yeah, definitely.
I remember with Silly Street, Elliot just pulling it out and hey, can somebody play a game with me? And I'm like, there's one time where I was just okay, I'll play it with you. And then I never stopped.
Well, you were being a very good big sister.
You were being a good big sister, but I bet you had fun playing it too, didn't you?
Yeah.
It's a fun little game, you know? I mean, as long as you're willing to be silly, it's good stuff.
That's why it's called Silly Street.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The next category on our list is cooperative games. So sometimes moms don't want to beat up on their kids.
Sometimes moms don't like really competitive games, either because they don't like beating up on their kids or because maybe they have some children who are poor losers, sore losers in their family.
In which case, they should read our article on
they should
ways what to deal with a sore loser. Yep.
Although one of the things in there is try playing a cooperative game.
So here we go. So we recommended...
The circle continues.
Yeah, so we recommended the Forbidden games. So Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert. And there's a couple of reasons for this. Number one, they're made by Game Right, so they're in distribution. They're very easy to get.
Yeah, they're easy to find.
They're inexpensive.
Yep.
And they're excellent introduction cooperative games.
This is not a Shadows over Camelot where you've got five different things you're working on and you're not allowed to directly communicate. You know, this is not a... It's not even a Magic Maze where, you know, you're in theory all working together, but nobody really understands what everybody else is doing. Forbidden Island, Forbidden Desert are very straightforward. You're allowed to communicate about everything. They're pretty easy to understand. And not only that, some moms, just saying, some moms might not like a game where you are fighting and beating up on monsters or whatever.
Right. There's no violence. There is no violence. In these games, so
you're just trying to escape.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a cooperative game that you think would be a better choice, let us know. Tell us in the show notes or on our Facebook community.
Yeah. I mean, really, for all of this stuff, we're really interested in what other people think. So head over to thefamilygamers.com/community and comment on there.
Yeah. All right, our fourth category was thematic games, games with a theme that might appeal to your mom.
So this is one where we really could go down the rabbit hole.
Oh my goodness, yeah, we could.
And we started to and then kind of reined ourselves in, and we have two. And so since I just mentioned the rabbit hole, the first one I will mention is The Grim Forest from Druid City Games.
Hey, Mom, you always read fairy tales to me when I was growing up. How about we play a game about fairy tales?
So, spoiler alert, our next category is beautiful games. And the truth is that the Grim Forest
really
absolutely could have been in the beautiful games category. It's a light game. The strategy is very easy to understand. There is a little bit of a take that mechanic to it. So it's kind of the opposite of the cooperative games in that way.
It can get vicious.
I don't want to say contentious. I guess vicious is a fine word to use there. It's just beautiful. It's such a delight to look at. Mr. Cuddington's art is really friendly even when it's dark.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I mean, it's really a nice family game. Right? So, we really like it. And I know Claire has played The Grim Forest a fair bit. What do you think of The Grim Forest, Claire?
I really like The Grim Forest because, like, there are the cards that, like, there's bad guys you can place to get things or stop people from getting things. And there's friends that you have that can help you. Like, it can give you more stuff than what you get. Or if you... Then you can just spend a little bit of this to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited because Daddy is going to let me paint the minis once I've had some practice.
Yes, I will. I'll grit my teeth and let you do it.
And they'll be beautiful. The other thematic game that immediately came to mind was Patchwork. Not to be too stereotypical, but a lot of older moms enjoy sewing and quilting. And the theme of Patchwork is, it's nice and it's unusual.
I think a lot of moms enjoy quilting. I don't think it's just older moms.
Fair. I am not much of one for sewing or quilting or really any kind of crafting, so...
Yeah, that's okay.
She only sews my pants when they rip.
Yes, I do mending. That's not the same as sewing for fun.
Yeah, so Patchwork, a delightful little two-player shape-fitting game.
Yep.
Game Right used to have a game called City Square Off, which was kind of similar to this.
Yeah.
Obviously, thematically very different. And then, of course, if you wanted something that was more than two players, if you can find yourself a copy of Baron Park.
Yeah.
That is another game that that is very similar to Patchwork, although it supports more than two players.
I love Baron Park.
It's a great game. So
yes, it is.
So yeah, so that is Patchwork from Asmodee now. It used to be Mayfair, and Mayfair is gone, so I think Asmodee is now the one who has licensed patchwork. So,
all right, and that brings us to our fifth category, which is beautiful games.
Yeah, so what we did with this one, we started with beautiful games, and it kind of morphed into, like, zen, relaxing, chill, pretty to look at games.
Yeah, it did.
Not just, like, this artwork rules, but, like, this is nice.
Yeah.
And calm.
Yeah, ones that hopefully won't get mom stressed out.
Yeah, like a nice Sunday afternoon on the screened-in porch, playing a little game of Saikatsu.
The way you were talking, I thought you were going to say Bob Ross.
Bob Ross, the artist. Okay, fine. We've now given away two of the games. Let's start with Bob Ross. Bob Ross, The Art of Chill. This is a Target exclusive. I think it's $25, $29.99, something like that. It's very inexpensive. If your mom is a Bob Ross fan, like, this game is fantastic because it's not complicated. It is a set collection game where you're trying to basically paint a painting faster than Bob Ross.
Yeah. It's not the best game ever, but if you like Bob Ross, it's really fun.
Yeah, like, okay. So, I mean, it's got the fan brushes and the Fatalo blues and all those, like, really Bob Rossy kind of things. And it's got a lot of kind of references to being, like, chilled out and all this stuff. And
happy
it's just,
little trees.
Yeah, it's got all that stuff. And it's fun. If you're a Bob Ross person, you will enjoy it. If you're not a Bob Ross person, the game's not going to blow you away with its mechanics. Yeah. But, you know, it's almost a thematic game as well, right? So it kind of bridges the gap between those two. It's fun. And it is. It's $25 at Target. Yeah. So
if you're not a Bob Ross fan, go with Saikatsu.
Mm-hmm. Saikatsu is, like, in your top three favorite games ever.
Maybe.
Right. So if your mom is Anitra, play Saikatsu.
Well, no, but I like Saikatsu because, again, it's another game that's really easy to pick up and to explain and to just jump in and start playing. You don't need to know exactly how the scoring works to pick up on, you know, how to optimally place your tiles. And you're never overwhelmed with decisions because you only ever have two tiles in hand at a time.
Right. And Claire, you've played this game with your mom.
Yes.
And with your grandma.
And honey, you've played this game with your mom.
I have played it with my mom.
So there you go. So games, it's a game we've played with our moms.
It's a game that's been played with all of the moms.
All of the moms.
Dun, dun, dun.
All of the moms in this family, anyway.
All right. Awesome.
And our last one for today in the beautiful games category is Tokaido, which is another very zen, chill kind of game.
Tokaido might be the most mechanically complicated game on this list.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's still super chill. It's a game that is technically competitive, but it almost doesn't feel that way at all.
It feels competitive, but very much in a friendly competition way, mm-hmm. not in a I'm going to crush you kind of way, because, right. You know, I'm going to crush you by having the best vacation just doesn't quite fit. So, like, yeah, I'm going to have a better vacation than you. I'm going to have the best vacation that I can have.
So Tokaido, we talked about lots. This is the game of vacationing on the Japanese countryside. There's a lot of great art in the game.
There's artwork, there's...
set collection.
There's definitely set collection. There's, you know, there is money involved. There's all kinds of Japanese food and souvenirs and
temples and stuff. Support your local place of worship.
Temples. Baths.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Remember, take a bath on your vacation.
Please. Yeah. Be kind to your fellow vacationers.
But no, I love the way it really does feel like, it really feels like I am going to make this trip the best trip that I could possibly have. You know, whether your trip is, you know, point-wise better than mine doesn't matter in the long run. I'm going to have my vacation and you are going to have your vacation.
And moms like vacation.
So yes, they do.
And most moms need a vacation, so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that is our list of games that we've selected as games to play with mom. So hopefully you got a chance to play some of these games with your moms this weekend. let us know on the post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/familygamersAA, what you played with your mom, or we'll put up a post in our Facebook community to ask you what you played with your moms. And you can either comment in there about the show or just comment in there about what you played with your moms, because we really want to know what you did this weekend. So that's pretty much going to be it for us. There's lots of places, though, that you can get a hold of us online.
Yep. You could also find us on Twitter at FamilyGamersAA. Or you could share pictures of what games you played with your mom.
Or you could share pictures of your mom playing games.
Yeah. To our Instagram at FamilyGamersAA.
As always, please don't forget to subscribe to the show. Tell your friends about the show. Leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or Google Play Store or wherever it is that you aggregate your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate that. We know that a lot of people have found us through those reviews, so they're very, very helpful.
Thanks, as always, to our sponsor, Wild East Games. They are sponsoring the Family Gamers podcast for all of 2018. Find them online at wildeastgames.com or at Wild East Games on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
If you go to their Facebook page now, they're doing like this crazy giveaway. They're giving away $400 worth of games, including, I think, their entire catalog, plus Scythe, plus Terraforming Mars.
Wow.
So I entered. And you should, too, if you go to their Facebook page, at Wild East Games. We are proud members of the Dice Tower Network. We love everything that they're doing over there. Dice Tower Con's coming up pretty soon. So if you haven't gone to DiceTower.com, what's wrong with you? I'm just kidding. But check out their stuff. They've got just a ton of content and a lot of amazing content producers. So we're very happy to be part of their network.
So I think that's it for this week. Until next week,
play games with your moms.